Daf Lam and Dalet. We have around the week left of Maseches Beitza. Again, a very technical daf here. So the Gemara begins by quoting a Mishnah. The Mishnah on the top two lines down says, Tanan Hasim, we have a Mishnah found in Maseches Chulin. We're talking about Elu Trefos, various Trefos. A Daris of a person, let's say, stomps on an animal. Oshet Tarfa Bekosar, just flings the animal against a wall. Oshet Ratzitza Behemor, like whacks the animal. Some type of a real brute force against the animal. So umfarcheses, and then the animal is busy like moving around, showing some signs of life. But Rashi says it can't stand up. So shasa me'eshel es v'shachta ksher. If the animal is able to live 24 hours from being hit, stomped on, or slapped across the face, so that indicates it's considered still alive, not a trefa, and that shechita would be considered acceptable. Now, Amar Ablazar, Bar Yanai, Mishim Ablazar, Ben Atignus, Tzricha Bedika. Nonetheless, you still have to do an internal inspection to make sure there is no damage to the spine or to the lungs or anything else. So Rashi just explained some of the trefas here. And he says, normally the din of a trefa is if an animal cannot live for a year, it can live for 10 months, 9 months, that's not good enough, that's called a trefa. So something unique when it comes to when it comes to force, what's called risuk evarim, which means there's some type of pressure against the animal. If the limbs have crumbled, fallen apart, then all you need is 24 hours to indicate that did not experience risuk evarim. But other types of injuries, a split or broken spine or something like that, that you need to wait to a full year. So if you inspect internally that the spine is intact and the lungs are together and the bones are all put together, so that would also be an indicator. So what's coming out from here is that if you're going to put force against the animal, if it lasts for 24 hours, it's acceptable, but after the shechita, you have to do an internal inspection. That's in general. Now the question becomes, what about yantif? Boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah m'Rabbi Zeira. Are you allowed to shecht such an animal yamta? Because now, when it comes during the week, there's no risk. There's nothing wrong. I shecht it on a Monday morning, so if I find it's a trefa, so nothing wrong. But I shecht it on yamtif, and turns out that when I do an internal inspection, it's actually a trefa. I shecht it. I did a mlacha on yamtif because I can't eat from this. So mal l'shachta b'yamtif, such an animal that experienced, I threw it against the wall, or I stomped on it, can I shecht it or not? What's the likelihood of there being in some type of trefa? Do we assume the chazaka now that since I stepped on the animal, I threw the animal across the room, now there's a reisa, and we assume that it's a treif and I should not shecht it, or no? The chazaka is a cheskas kashrus, and therefore I could go ahead and shecht the animal. So Amar Lei, the Gemara says, Tanina, we have a Mishnah from yesterday, we learned this. You cannot fire up the tiles or the pottery in order to use it to roast, to cook something. Why not? What's wrong? We're talking about brand new tiles, brand new pottery that's never been used before. You have to inspect it. In other words, you're not sure if the pottery that you made is strong enough to withstand the heat. You've never used it before. It's brand new. So you have to test it out first. If I use this on Yantif, and turns out that the pottery just explodes, I did a mlacha unnecessarily. So here as well, just like you have to, you can't use a brand new pottery to fire something up because it might break. You need to inspect it here as well. You need to inspect the animal, and therefore since it requires an inspection, you should not be able to shecht it either. So the Gemara says, don't bring me a raya from the case of the Rafim. Why? Amar le onan mipnei shetarach lechasman. We had, from yesterday's daf, really the top of this daf, we had two different reasons why you cannot fire up a brand new pottery on Yantif. One was because you have to inspect it, it might not be strong enough. But the second reason, the Gemara says, is because you're actually finalizing it. It's a gomer kli, you're finishing the kli, you're completing the kli, and that would not be a relevant topic, relevant to factor, when it comes to shechting the animal. So since we assume that the reason why you can't fire up a tile is because the chasman, it has nothing to do with shechting such an animal and requiring an inspection. So the Gemara does not have an answer for this. So Gemara now quotes a braisa tanya. Echad meviyasa or ve'echad meviyasa etim. One person brings the fire, one person brings the wood. Echad shofes zekader. One person places the pot. Ve'echad meviyasa mayim. One person puts the water in the pot. Ve'echad nosim besocha talvin. One person puts the spices in the water. Ve'echad megiyasa kulan. Megiyasa, one of them stirs the pot. So all these individuals who had some part in the mlach of fire and cooking, kulan chayavim, they're all chayiv amlacha. One guy turned the fire on, one guy put the water in. They're all either a bishul issue or an issue of havara. So Gemara says, v'hatanya ha'achron chayiv v'kulan pturim. But don't we have a brisa with the same exact scenario? But yet that brisa says only the last guy's chayiv. all the other guys before him were actually putter. But the first price, we said that every single person, every stage is chayiv in the malacha of either bishul or havara. And the Gemara says, lo kasha, there is no contradiction. There are actually two different scenarios. Had the icy or meikara, had the icy or levasof. In other words, if you brought the fire at the end, if I take a pot, I just put it on my table, I put water and spices, I didn't do any malacha, and I mix it, nothing has happened. But the last guy to turn the fire on, he does the fine malacha, only he's chayv of havara. But if the first guy puts on the fire, then I put the pot on, and I put the water in, and I put the spice in, then each person is adding on either to havara or bishul, that's the previous brice. Fine. So Gemara says, wait a second, one of these actions is actually not a malacha. Bishma, I understand, kulu ka'avdin ma'isa. The guy who lit the fire did a malacha. The guy who put the water in the pot did a ma'isa, bishul. The guy who put the spices is bishul. The guy who stirred is bishul. But what about Ella Shofes as HaKadeir, my covet? The guy who puts a pot, an empty pot, on a fire is not a malacha. If I have a fire going on Yontif, I put a pot there with nothing in it, there's no malacha involved. So why is that guy chayv? What did he do wrong? And so the Gemara answers that Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish answers, Hacha b'kedera chadasha askinin. We're talking about a brand new pot. U'mishuma libo nirafu naguba. Because by putting the pot there, made of pottery, or on top of the fire, since it's the first time it was being used, it was firing it up, it was completing, it was a Gemara Kli, that's why it's a problem. But had it been an old pot that has been used before, that would not be a problem of placing an empty pot on top of a fire. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabban, the Brisa teaches us that Tanur v'kiraim chadashim, a brand new oven, two different types of oven so that were brand new, never used before. Harehein, kechola kelim, hanidlim b'chatzer. They're like any other keli, which means you can move them. They're not subject to muksa. Their ovens were very small. It's like a toaster oven. So you can pick it up. You can move it around. They had a certain purpose on Yontif. So you're allowed to move it on Yontif. It's not subject to muksa. Aval ein sachan osam shemen. You should not rub oil on them on Yontif. And Rashi explains why rubbing oil is a problem. He says, because it makes it look smooth and nice. It's almost like completing the kli. Vein tashin osam b'malis, you should not take a towel and kind of rub it and smear it. It also looks like it's completing the kli. Vein mafigin osam b'tona, you should not put water on the outside of a hot oven, kedei l'chasman, because that would be a way of completing the malacha. Pouring water after you fire something up and you pour water and cool off, that somehow completes the manufacturing of the oven. However, you are allowed to pour cold water over in b'shvil la'afos, if it's for the purpose of baking, you're allowed to. In other words, back then, nowadays, if you want to lower the fire, you lower the fire. You're allowed to lower the fire so that something shouldn't burn. If I'm making something on Yontif, so I could certainly raise the fire, but let's say I'm making something that's very sensitive, very, very easily cooked, and it might burn, I can actually lower the fire so it doesn't burn. So how do you lower an oven? So one eitz is to pour cold water over it, that cools it off. So pouring cold water in an oven, not to complete the kli, but rather to cool it off, so it's a lower temperature, that would be allowed as well. The new Brisa tells us further, Tanur Rabbanan Mulgin Es HaRosh, you're allowed to boil off hair from an animal on the head, Ves HaRaglaim, or hair on the legs, U'mehavavin Osam B'or, or you could light them, you burn the hair off. Aval Ein Tofen Osam B'charasis, you're not allowed to use some type of shards of earthenware pottery to scrape off the hair. V'lo ba'dama, v'lo ba'sin, nor types of dirt or some type of a cement or a plaster, you can't use either. It looks like it's more of a, looks like a uvda d'chal of some sort. V'ein gozen osam b'misraim, you can't use scissors to cut the hair off the animals. So that's one topic of removing hair of animals. V'ein gozen as a yerek b'tasbar shalom, nor can you cut a vegetable with a some type of professional knife or a scissor, because that looks like you're preparing it today. It looks like you cut it from the ground today. About masatkin es hakundis ves hachavios, you're allowed to prepare these vegetables. They require a lot of preparation. And if you're working on it, nobody thinks you picked it today. They understand it requires a lot of preparation. So somehow that's allowed. I don't fully grasp this. And masikin of ofen beprani, you're allowed to use a certain type of oven on Yontif. Nobody thinks you, even though it's a big process, a big to-do to fire up such an oven, and nobody thinks you're preparing for after Yontif. It's understood that this takes a lot of work, and even though you're sweating and working hard, it's understood you're using it for today on Tzarech Yontif. And similarly, mechamin chame be'atichi, you could fire up boil water in a large vat, and even though it might look like you're preparing it for after Yontif, everybody knows that this type of vat or this type of urn takes a lot of work, and they know that you're using it for Yontif itself. But you should not use a brand new oven because it might break, and turns out if you turn on the fire and then in the end you can't use the oven, turns out it was a melacha shlo l'tzarech. I told you it's a very, very technical daf. Furthermore, Tanya Rabbanim, Brisa says, You cannot blow a fire. You want to increase the fire, they used to blow air. The oxygen would increase the fire. Especially utensil mafoach, whatever, it's like, a glass or something. You can't blow through that because that looks like you're doing some type of professional work with it. About nofchen bishfoferes, but a regular straw, that would be allowed because nobody uses that for professional work. So that you can blow the fire to increase the ash. You cannot prepare a skewer on Yantiv. That's called a tikkun lemaneh. So you can't sharpen it either on Yantiv. That's fixing the kli. And Tanur Rabbanon ein mifatzin is a kana litzlos bo meliach. You cannot somehow cut open a kana reed. You used to use a reed, it seems, to like almost like parchment paper, it seems. So you shouldn't burn whatever you're making, the fish. So you're not allowed to open that up to use as a paper between the fire and the fish or whatever you're cooking. But you can actually crack open an egos in a towel. So in other words, you can wrap the egos in the towel, use a hammer or slam it against the ground or the wall. That will crack it, and we're not concerned you might tear the matlis, the towel. That would all be allowed. Again, a very technical daf. New Mishnah now on the bottom. The Mishnah tells his last two lines here. The Yod Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said further, we saw Rabbi Eliezer the other day, that he says you're allowed to pick up wood chips that are in front of you, and even in the entire chatzir you're allowed to, because he did not have an issue of a muksa. Anything that's in the chatzir is considered mukha. So he said further, Yod Amar Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, Omed Adam Al HaMuksa. A person can stand on muksa. The items that are given are dried fruit, that you're having fruit that are let out to be dry, so until they've dried, they're considered muksa. So you're allowed to step on them on muksa on Yantif. Erev Shabbos on Friday, rather, you could do this. B'Shvius, in the Shemitah year, very appropriate for this year, you could step on it on a Friday. B'Shvius, v'omer, and say, Mikan ani ochel l'machar, from these fruit I'm eating tomorrow. He didn't specify which ones, but I'm stepping on figs. I'm eating from some figs here. Why? Because he holds a brera, which means tomorrow I can figure out which one I want to take. L'mafreya, that's what I had in mind initially, Erev Shabbos. There is brera. While Chachamim argue, Chachamim say, Ad sheyirshim, you have to make some type of indicator. You have to mark it out. V'yomer mikan v'yadkan. You have to say, this and that I'm taking. Because Chachamim do not hold a brera. You have to specify beforehand which fruit you're taking. While Rabbi Elazar again says, no, you hold a brera. I can just say, of these fruit I'm taking tomorrow, I'm standing, some of these fruit I'm taking, and tomorrow I'll figure out which one they were. The mafreira, that indicates that we had in mind the whole time. What does shviyas have to do with anything here? So Shemitah, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Erev Shabbos Shvius. Shein Maiser Noeg. During the year Shemitah, there's no requirement of Maiser. And during a normal year, if you want to eat fruit from the farm, you have to take Chuma, and you have to take Maiser. There is no Chiv of Chuma Maiser during the year Shemitah. Nobody owns it, it's Hefker, and therefore not subject to Shemitah, to Maiser. So says Rashi, Shein Maiser Noeg, but during Shemitah, Vein Mechoser Ela Hasmana. Meaning all that's lacking is Hasmana, Muksa. Normally, when during a regular year, there are two issues. My fruit needs to be, I need to separate Meiser, and I need to actually be Mazmin, so there's no Muksa. So just to neutralize the case of Meiser, we chose a situation of Shemitah, where Meiser is out of the picture, and all you need to do is Hazmana. But during the rest of the year, when it's a year of Shemitah, you also need the factor of Meiser. So look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, V'hu adin b'mu'usar u'b'shar shnei shavuot. Let's say I had fruits that Meiser was already taken. That's equivalent to Shemitah, where there's no need for Meiser. So what? In other words, I have some figs that I separated in Meiser, but they're still muksa because I didn't let them dry out. If I stand on top of them, Erev Shabbos, and say, of these figs I'm taking tomorrow, that would work even during the rest of the year if I've taken Meiser from them already. Fine. So now, the Gemara says as follows. Tzan Hasim, Mishnah teaches us, a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Maiseros. Tinokos shetamnu te'enim me'erev Shabbos v'shachu. So let's say some children, they hid figs, they were doing hatamana, they put the figs somewhere in the ground, Erev Shabbos, which was their way of designating, we want to eat these figs on Shabbos. They forgot them, they didn't eat them. So what's the din? V'lo asu, they did not take Meiser, the Matzah Shabbos. Lo yochlu ela imkein asu. They have to take Meiser. There's a klal that normally when you have fruit that's in the field that does not require Meiser. I could eat achiyas arai. I could snack on them. The only time they require Meiser is when I bring them in my house or even the chatzir. When I bring them into my chatzir bias, at that point they're chayef. But now there's another way the Gemara is telling us that you could be mechayef something in Meiser. Let's say Shabbos comes. Shabbos is koveya. Shabbos requires all fruit to be taken. So in other words, if I gather fruit for achiyas arai, I could eat it. But if I separate, if I designate it, and then Shabbos comes, Shabbos actually now requires me to take Meiser after Shabbos is over, because there's no such thing as snacking. Snacking doesn't exist on Shabbos. Shabbos makes every single snack into a Suda. It takes, since it's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, there's no such thing as snacking. That's a keem of Shabbos, and therefore since it's a kavua, it's considered somehow a permanent, considered a real meal, I would have to take Meiser, even though I never brought it into the house. That's a chiddush. Again, let's read that one more time. Tinokos shetamnu teinim merav Shabbos. The children had set aside some figs erev Shabbos. V'shachal, they forgot to eat it, so they had some leftovers. V'lo asu, they did not separate Meiser from this. L'motzei Shabbos, lo yochlu elam kein asu. They have to separate Meiser before eating at Matzei Shabbos. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes here, Tinokos shetamnu teinim, besadet, they hid it in the field. In other words, it never saw the house. Never came to the chatzir. Remained in the field. O begino, or in the garden. Lachila Shabbos, they set it aside to eat for Shabbos. V'shachal, they forgot, v'lo isu. Lo yochlu, they're not allowed to eat this. V'yafal gav de kaimelon, even though we have a klal, ein hatevo mischai v'meiser, v'lo ochlo el achila sarai, ad sheyir p'nei abayis o p'nei chatzir. But wait a second. The only time there's a chiyah meiser is if the fruit came into the field, the chatzir, or into the bias. But these fruit remained in the gina, remained in the sada. There's no chiyah. Nonetheless, there's a din. We're not going to read through the whole Rashi. It's a long Rashi, but the din that Shabbos is kovas la meiser below ries panim. So in other words, if the fruit remained in the field, if I didn't touch them, if I didn't designate them, so that fruit remains pater from meiser. But if I designated fruit before Shabbos, and Shabbos came, that Shabbos actually is koveya and requires me to take Meiser when Shabbos is over. That's the chiddush. That's Mishnah 1.
Not on Shabbos. On Shabbos,
Shabbos you can't take Meiser. Exactly. That you could eat it, but you can't.
Technically, it turned into a Suda as soon as Shabbos starts.
Technically, it turned into a Suda. It technically will, but since you're not allowed to be Mafrish, Shumas, and Meisos, so then.
Can't do Barer.
Hafrasha?
Brera.
You can't do Brera. No, I'm saying, but by me being mafresh on Shabbos, that is a tikkun mana, that's an iser midrabanan, so I'm not allowed to separate on Shabbos. So Pinchas asks him, but wait a second, if a Shabbos is kovei, the moment Shabbos begins, so that means chayv and meiser, I shouldn't be able to eat it until I've taken meiser, but I can't take meiser because it's Shabbos, so maybe you're stuck at that point. So it's possible, maybe you can't, maybe in Echlam you can't eat on Shabbos. They designated it before Shabbos, they kind of put it themselves to eat, and then... No, but Rashi says you chumah also. But Rashi says you do need to you separate it for the purpose of eating for Shabbos. The question: how do you get around the separating on Shabbos itself? I'm not sure. Let's see.
The tinokos, when they separate before Shabbos.
1 second.
Right, but when Shabbos hits and it becomes a suda, now it's chayav meiser. Have to eat on Shabbos itself. I get matzah Shabbos.
Okay, I'm not sure. All right, let's look after it. I'll look into it after. Just say, okay, fine. Then the Gemara quotes another Mishnah that says, that's not Nami. The Mishnah also says, the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Maestros, Hamavir te'enim mechatzero, liktas bonav ubnei beso, ochem hem arai upturim. The Mishnah says, if a person brings figs to his chatzer, he's allowed to eat them arai. So there's another klal here. The truth is, when it comes to Maestros, there are two elements that are necessary. One is there needs to be a gemar melacha. You have to finish melacha on the fruit. And secondly, there also has to be ru'u p'nei abayis. It has to see the house or the chatzer. So from the first Mishnah, we see that the fruit, the tinokos that separated, there was a gemar melacha, but the Shabbos is kovas. Shabbos replaces the need to see the house. The second Mishnah teaches us, if you bring figs from the chatzer, which have not yet experienced a gemar melacha, the fruit are not yet fixed, you can eat a chiyas arai. What the Gemara is going to ask now is as follows. Is Shabbos koveya only on fruit that have a Gemara Malacha, or will it even be koveya on that which is not a Gemara Malacha, that which did not experience a Gemara Malacha? Because again, the second Mishnah tells us, Hamavir Tainim b'chatzero, you bring figs into your chatzer, liksas banav b'nei beso, for the children to let dry, to make fig cakes, you can ochel mehen arai, eat them a snack. But why? Didn't it see Rias chatzer? When you see the chatzir, isn't it chayiv? No, because since these figs did not have a gemar melacha, they did not get to the final act of completing the fruit, they're not gemar melacha, and a chatzir is only koveya, that for those fruit which are gemar melacha, not those fruit which are not gemar melacha. So now the question is, okay, what about Shabbos? How strong is the kfiyas of Shabbos? So that's the question we're asked. By minei Rava mirav Nachman. Shabbos mahu shetikva muksa lemaiser bedavar shlo nigmar melachto. How strong is the kfiyas of Shabbos? Is that able to take that which is muksa, and even though, in other words, muksa items are things that have not experienced a gemar melacha. By definition, the fruit is gemar melacha, it's edible, it's not muksa. So if it's not gemar melacha, it's muksa. So could Shabbos be kovei a muksa, or something that does not have a gemar melacha, could it be kovei that as well to be chai v'maiser? So do we say, mi amrin, do we suggest that kevan dichsev v'karas l'shabbos oneg, so then Shabbos is called oneg, meaning every type of meal, even a snack, it's called the oneg Shabbos. So it's kava, afilu b'davar shlo nigmar melachta, even fruit, they're not in its final act. Shabbos is so strong, the oneg Shabbos is so strong, it could be kaveya in terms of chiv meiser. O duma, perhaps, b'davar shlo nigmar melachta kava, but b'davar shlo nigmar melachta lo kava, or maybe it's limited. Maybe the ability of Shabbos to be kaveya only works for those fruits that are gemar melacha. But those which did not experience the gemar melacha, those which are still muksa and inedible, that Shabbos would not be kaver. There is no chiv of a meiser. That's the shayla. And the gemara answers, Amalei, Shabbos kovas, the ability of Shabbos, the onik Shabbos is kovas, bein bedavar shel nigmar melachto, bein bedavar shel nigmar melachto. Whether or not it's an item that has completed its act, its act is complete, it's already completely edible, or even if it's an item that's not yet complete, Shabbos is so strong it even makes those inedible fruit into a onik Shabbos. So Amalei, v'ema, why? Maybe say, Shabbos dumi dechatzer. Maybe we should equate Shabbos dechatzer. We just saw above the Mishnah from Maseches Maisos that ma chatzer eino kavaz ela b'davar shenigmar melachta. When you bring fruit into the courtyard, it's only kaveya meiser on those fruit that gmar melachto. But the t'enim we spoke of before that were brought in to make fig cakes, so in other words, the gmar melacha wasn't yet done, it's actually not chayva meiser. So just like the chatzer is only kavas b'davar shenigmar melachto, maybe so to af Shabbos lo tikpa ela b'davar shenigmar melachto. But that which is not gmar melachto, maybe Shabbos should not be kaveya. So Amalei, Limud, or Talmud, Aruch, Hu B'yadenu, we have a Mesara, we have a halacha that we have, a tradition goes way back, B'yadenu, She Shabbos Kavas, Bein B'davar Shenigmar Melachto, Bein B'davar Shenigmar Melachto. Don't ask questions, don't ask kavachomers, don't make equations. We have a Mesara that's been kept for whatever many years, that Shabbos is a Kaveya, whether it's fruit that's Gmar Melachto, or Eino Nigmar Melachto. Fine. So now the Gemara says, what does it have to do with our Mishnah? So here we go. Amar Mar Zutra, Braid of Nachman. Af Ananami Tanina, we also learn the Mishnah as follows, the same concept, the strength of Shabbos, which is what? Tanina, says the Mishnah, the Od Amar Rebbe Eliezer, Balazar taught us further, Omid Adam Ahal Muksa Erev Shabbos B'Shvius. A person can stand on Muksa items, which by definition means fruits that are not Gemar Melachtan yet. You could stand on them Erev Shabbos of Shemitah and say, from these I want to take tomorrow. So Gemara is Medaik. Taima de Shvius de la bar Isurehu, only because the Shemitah is a year where there's no requirement of Maisa, and therefore the only thing that stands in the way is Hasmana, of Muksa, so standing on them is enough to create make them Mutter. Ha Beshar Shnei Shavuot, but any other years where there's a Chia Maiser, Ha Chanami de Aser, it would be Aser, it wouldn't work, standing on them alone would not be sufficient. My time, La Mishim de Shabbos Kava. So now, what's going on here? So I've got a regular year, a non-Shemitah year. I've got muksa fruit. Muksa fruit means it's not gemar melachtan. They're not yet ready. Their figs are not yet dried. So if I stand on them during a Shemitah year, standing on them makes hazmana. That works. But during a year with this meiser, although standing on them will avoid the muksa issue, it won't avoid the meiser issue. But why is there meiser? We just said we're talking about fruit that are not gemar melachtan. Where's Maisa kick in? It's not Gemar Melachta. It must be. When Shabbos kicks in, Shabbos is Koveya. Even these fruit, they're not Gemar Melachta. So we learn from the Mishnah, we can be Medak from the Mishnah, that Shabbos is Kovas, even for those fruits, which are not Gemar Melachta, to prove our point above, that again, the Talmud Aruch B'Yadeinu, Shabbos is Kovas, Bein Gemar Melachta, Bein Shlo Gemar Melachta. That's the Raya from our Gemara and Mishnah. So Gemara says, lo, not true. Shiny Hasim. There is different. The truth is, it's not because a Shabbos is kaveh. There's actually a third way to be kaveh of fruits to meiser. Right now we have, according to the simple way, to kaveh a fruit from achias arai to now tevel, where you can't have snacking anymore, that's when it sees rias pnei bias or rias pnei chatzer. That's one way to be kaveh a fruit. The second way we learn from this daf is Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, all fruits, whether it's not Gemar Melachtan or Lo Gemar Melachtan, Shabbos is Koveya. But now there's a third time. If I take fruit and I say, I'm designating these fruit to eat, that's another way of being Koveya fruit for Chiv Meiser, and nothing to do with Shabbos at all. That's the reason why. So Gemara says, okay, if that's the reason why, this is a third track of a way of something's koveya. By me saying, I want to eat these fruit, that's already koveya into a suda, and now I need to eat meiser before eating it. So what did that have to do with Shabbos? Ihachi, my ear Shabbos, afil b'chol, nami. So why is the Mishnah talking about Shabbos? If I, on a regular Monday, I say, these fruit, I want to be part of my suda. That statement is now requires me to take meiser. So nothing to do with Shabbos at all, so why does the Mishnah present this case on Shabbos? So Gemara answers, because there's another chiddush we want to learn from here. We're learning a number of chiddushim from this Mishnah. So Gemara says, and we'll finish with this, Ho kamash malan, de tevel muchan hu etel Shabbos, shim avar v'tikno musukam. We're learning a separate chiddush. Okay, so what happened was, I stood on my fruit, my muksa fruit, I said, I want to have this as part of my suda. That statement alone is now koveya this for chiyah meiser. Now, there's a second chiddush we're learning from here. Let's say Shabbos comes. And a guy goes ahead, and even though he shouldn't, but he separates a meiser on Shabbos, the lach is that would be an acceptable separation, and I can eat it. Because normally there are two issues. There's a muks issue, and there's an issue of eating a tevel. So I already got around the muks issue, because I said, I want to eat these fruit. So muks isn't an issue. But now I still can't separate it, because it's your point that gets to answer the question. The meiser, I can't eat the fruit on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. But what they learn from the Mishnah is, if a guy separated Meiser anyway on Shabbos, it would be effective, it would be Metukon, Mesukon, and you could eat it. Why? Because separating Chumas and Meisers is only an Isser Midirabanan. There's no Isser Deraisa. Only an Isser Midirabanan. If a guy was over the Isser Midirabanan, we accept it as being separated properly, and that's why you can go ahead and eat it. But Eina Chanami Lichachila, a person on Shabbos comes, whether or not I designate the fruit, or whether just Shabbos comes and Shabbos itself is kovei the fruit for Meiser, Eina Chanami Lichachila, to answer your question, you cannot eat the Meiser, the fruit on Shabbos, unless B'dieved it had taken place. So let's quickly recap what we did. Amud Aleph, it's just a lot of technical things. We spoke about the animal you threw against the wall, 24 hours, having to inspect it, trying to bring the rider from the tile. Then we discussed the case of the people who brought the pot and the water and the tavlin and the fire. One case, you chayv each person, the other person, the chayv, it's because it's the last one who lit the fire. And then we discussed the various technical things of cutting hair and burning hair and whatnot. Then the Mishnah spoke about Rebbe Lazar, who said, you standing on Muksa, Erev Shabbos and Shemitah, that actually works, because you don't have to, because he holds a brayer, you don't have to specify. Chacham argued and says that, no, you don't hold a brayer, you do have to actually specify. Then we discussed the whole inyan of that normally the chiv of Pnei Abayis, Pnei Chatzer works for only that which is Gemar Mlachtan. Shabbos is also Kaveah for the Chiyah Meiser. The question was, is Shabbos also Kaveya for those fruit which are not Gemar Melachtan? And we concluded based on a certain Masorah that Shabbos is Kavas Bein B'davar Shenigmar Melachta Bein B'davar Shelo Nigmar Melachta. Then finally the Gemara based on our Mishnah proved as well there's yet a third way to be Kaveya Meiser, and that's by simply making a statement. A statement alone would be Kaveya something for Meiser. That if you say, I want to eat this fruit tomorrow, that's being Kaveya. That also works, be Chayv Meiser. And then finally we learn from here that although one's not allowed to separate Chumas and Meiser on Shabbos, if one does so, but the evidence acceptable and a person may eat from it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.